The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good afternoon. Feels like we've been gone forever. Good morning. This is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show. With me this morning is our son-in-law, Jason Willing. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
Are you?
Yeah. Jason said, I want to see how this works. I want to see what goes on. How you feel now?
Oh, this is a magical experience.
We've had some interesting callers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you see how I shuffle papers around and how we do the commercials and all that stuff. So it's just it's just 30 years of doing this, you know, just kind of all comes natural. So, however, the magic moment at the end of the hour last time was truncated by I, me personally, was accused of letting Okie from Muskogee play too long. But the music is not controlled in this room. It's controlled in that room.
Yes.
Yes. So I started talking about Battery Warehouse, and I found a phone charger there. Mm-hmm. Now, they have one that's about the size of a cell phone, a little thicker,
okay,
which is a really powerful unit. You know, you charge it and you take it with you and throw it in your pack or whatever if you're going
home. Portable power supply.
Portable power supply. But I found one made by Nebo that is a knife, a flashlight, and a phone charger.
The Swiss Army knife of phone chargers.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's got everything.
Yeah, it does. Now, but the only problem is I have what kind of phone is this? This is a Galaxy Samsung.
Okay, so it's Samsung.
So it's the what is this charger called?
Charger?
No, the port. The port has not a mini, it's not a Mac, it's a
micro, I think.
Not a micro. It's like a, I don't know what it's called.
Does it look like this?
Nope.
Okay.
No, it's wider.
All right, yeah, so this one's a micro. You talking about a USB?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about it's a Stage 3, I don't know, something. Anyway, it's got a different charger.
Okay.
So the thing that comes with a mini. So what I'm going to have to do to charge the phone is to replace the cord that comes with that with a...
So you got to get an adapter.
I got to get another cord because there's a USB port,
mm-hmm,
and that's what you charge from. You charge the unit with the mini, so it comes with that.
Okay,
you can plug that into your computer. You can plug it into your car on the USB, and charge it on the USB. But we're getting too technical now for me. I want to talk to Walt in Norrisville. Good morning, Walt. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Except we're supposed to be on a blinder and a tree stand right now, but we're sitting in a truck with my friend Walt waiting on it to quit raining. What do you think?
Well, I think if it quits raining, you guys ought to be in there, you know, keep your eye on the radar and wait for it to get a little break and then get in your stand and wait for the deer to come out. That's what I think.
Yeah, we made a lot of plans for this day, but we didn't include the rain, so everything we got is open to the air, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Well, you might have to wait it out a little bit. You might have to just wait it out. You know, I mean, even, you know, people say, why do you stay in a stand all day? I say, because I've shot more deer between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock than I've shot morning and evening. You know, I just...
I've heard that many, many times, and you're right, the times that the time allows us to stay that late or later in the day We usually see deer, especially in a rut.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I've shot my share of deer. You know, first light, 7:30, 8 o'clock. After about 8 o'clock, unless there's a lot of people moving around the woods, which, you know, in some of my hunting lands, some people do. They start moving around, you know, they go back to the house for some reason. Somebody has to go to work, whatever. They might push a deer out. But, you know, that 11:30 to 1:30 is, you know, sometimes prime time. Last year, I'll tell you what happened last year. Sitting in the stand and with my grandson, not with him, he was in another stand. And we went for lunch, which I typically don't do, but, you know, we went for lunch. We went and got a sandwich or something. Came back about, I don't know what time it was, maybe 12:30, something like that. Got back in the stand, nice warm day. I sat down, and I almost immediately fell asleep. I woke up to the sounds of hoofbeats, okay, and tails going down over this little bench, okay, and I'm like, oh, man. And I looked up, and there was a deer standing. I couldn't tell how big it was, but I sat there with a purpose. I was going to shoot a deer with my 30-30 rifle, Winchester Model 94, built in 1954, just like me. Okay, so same age as me. So I thought, okay, there's a deer standing. I couldn't tell what it was. Its head was behind the laurel. Got the binoculars out, and it's just standing there. And I got the binoculars, and I saw a point sticking up above the laurel, and I shot, and, you know, fortunately I got the deer. Well, in that pack of deer, there were probably six other deer, and the big 10-point was with them, and I blew my shot because I was asleep. They went barreling past my grandson. You know, he didn't get a shot at the big one. Another guy in one of the other stand didn't get a shot at the big one, but that's 12:30 in the middle of the afternoon. What bumped those deer out? I have no idea, but, you know, midday, I like it. So, and I also like to stay in the stand on 1 hour, at least 1 hour on either side of the high tide. I think the high tide is has to do with triggering an animal's biological clock.
Well, that mostly like for Sitka and Dorchester and all.
No,
that's for everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, yeah. High tide in Dorchester. You know, if it's a day like the rain we had the other day, and you can't get by the. Those deer are going to be looking for a little bit higher ground, yeah, but, you know, they don't want to be in water up to their bellies, but up to their knees is okay. But, yeah, I mean, I depend on knowing what the tide's going to be for deer activity and that type of thing. Here's my theory on that, Walt, if you got a second.
Sure.
Okay. When you're out in farm country and you drive past farm after farm after farm, you look and you'll see the horses and the cattle. They're all feeding at the same time. Okay? Rarely, when the animals are on their feet, will you find other animals in the same area lying down. Okay? So I'm thinking that these animals are acclimated to a biological clock based on being outside, being in nature. Okay? Yeah, you can bring them in the barn and milk the cows and feed them when it's time to do that. But when they're up and feeding on their own, that's when the animals are feeding as well. That's when the deer are feeding. If the cows are feeding, the deer are feeding. Why do cows feed at different times of the day? Because their biological clock is in tune with something. And I personally think that's the gravitational pull of the moon on the earth, which creates the tides as well. So I'm thinking that something in that animal's brain tells it to stand up and get some food in its belly. And I think it works with domestic animals as well as wild animals. That's why I depend on high tide to be very alert, an hour on either side of it. What do you think?
Wow, I've never heard that before, but what you say makes a lot of sense. I was a farm boy, and, of course, when we opened the barn doors, we kind of had to get the cows up at 4 or 4:30 to get the milking done. But
sure.
You're right. I do remember they feed in the morning, and I never thought about that before. Very
yep.
interesting.
Yep. So, you know, pay attention to the tide. There's a tide chart out there on the DNR website, or you can go to Tide Chart, and, you know, you can plug in where your location is and, you know, your nearest tide, that type of thing. And I use it all the time. I've been using it for years and years and years. So.
Wow. Wow! Yeah, very, very interesting.
Think about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
it breaks my heart when high tide in the afternoon's like 8 o'clock at night. But you can usually catch one or the other high tide during the day. So.
Yeah. I'm going to pay attention to that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So, all right, brother. Hey, well, look, enjoy your day. Wait for the rain to slow down a little bit. Get in that stand and wait for the deer to show up. They're outside anyway. They're going to get wet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So
we get a little concerned about a blood trail or something.
That's your concern. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, so. Don't want to injure anything. We just want to take them home with us.
That's right. All right, brother. Appreciate the call.
Hey, thanks a lot. Enjoy your show.
Good luck, guys, and I hope to hear a good report next week.
Thank you.
See ya. All right. Bye-bye. There we go. Always nice to talk to somebody in the field getting ready to go, you know? That's always good. So, all right. Our next story is from Maine. You just returned from Maine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the Maine hunter shot another man in the chest. Big headline. Maine hunter shoots another man in the chest. A man who meant to shoot a turkey accidentally hit a passerby in the chest Monday morning, Maine Warden Service said. That is the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. A Maine hunter who intended to shoot a turkey on Monday morning accidentally hit a passerby in the chest instead. William E. Penley was turkey hunting with his grandson when he fired a 12-gauge shotgun at one of the birds. A stray round. Well-written story, very educated about hunting, okay, struck Richard Hannibal in the chest, according to Maine's Lewiston Sun Journal. Apparently, breathlessly, Hannibal was watching the same group of turkeys as Penley. The single pellet did not break through Hannibal's skin, but it gave him a nasty welt. The report said, citing police scanner reports, he refused medical treatment. I've been shot in the chest. Look. It looks like a third. The Maine Warden Service is investigating the accident. The journal reported it was not immediately clear if Penley was licensed to hunt, but he was hunting on property belonging to one of his family members.
So the guy was walking.
Well, we don't know. He was looking at the same. He was a passerby. So here's a guy watching a flock of turkeys. One gets close enough. He shoots. Okay. Obviously didn't know Mr. Hannibal was on the other side. So what's a first rule hunter safety? Know what your target, know what's beyond it. Okay? But who knows how far away Mr. Penley was or if he was in sight. He was hit by one shotgun pellet.
Out of a 12 gauge,
which has 150 pellets in the 12 gauge.
Depends on
shot size. Yeah, but okay.
But the turkey have that tight choke, so it's not like it was.
What?
He had to be directly behind the bird.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
pretty close. But how do you know he wasn't down over an embankment or anything?
Yeah.
How do you know? But still, I'm not holding Mr. Penley, the shooter, entirely blameless because he did not know what was on the other side of that target. However, how far away do you have to be hit by a shotgun pellet and it doesn't break the skin and give you a welt?
We can experiment later on.
That would be, okay, I'm the trigger man.
No.
There was a story when I was growing up that somebody bet somebody that they couldn't hit him with a shotgun at 100 yards. And the story was that they went out to the high school football field, and one guy stood on the goal line end zone, and the other guy sat in the other one, bent over, and mooned the other guy. The guy said, lined up and shot, and I don't think he penetrated, but I think he peppered him pretty good. The reaction was not a positive one. Don't do this at home. Yeah. Not something to experiment.
I think that was probably done on a Mythbusters episode.
Was it done on a Mythbusters?
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody wrote that in.
This is a story from, you know, local, where I went to high school.
No, but what I'm saying is I'm sure the guys on Mythbusters at one point in time tried it out.
Not me.
I'm not going to try either.
Not me. They can do that gel man, that, you
know. Ballistics gel.
Yeah, exactly.
Ballistics gel guy. Yeah, they can do that. That's fine with me. 410 WCBM 680. We are giving a muzzleloader away the last Saturday of this month, and the last Saturday of next month, and the last Saturday of the following month. So get your name in. All you got to do is call in 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Leave your name and number. Go on the air with me, and you're in the contest. You can also email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And some folks have done that this morning. I do need, when you email, name and phone number. I can't go just on your email address. You got to say muzzleloader contest. You can put that on the subject line and give me your full name and your phone number where you can be reached. Because if I pull your name and can't find your phone number, you are in the vernacular SOL. You didn't beat that, did you? They're not going to hear rock and roll. Okay, good. All right. John B., yes, I'm serious. There was no secret recipe for mushroom gravy, nor was it a Alan Batchelor recipe when that happened. Do you have a secret recipe for mushroom gravy?
No, I do not.
And Jason is a gourmet cook. Heinz is a good one. You know?
Heinz makes good products.
Yeah, I like their stuff. Yeah. Yeah. You know they now make a combination ketchup and mayonnaise.
I bought some for Brie the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Robin's secret sauce.
Yeah, I'm not much on that.
Yep. Now, this guy, our buddy Jess there, Jess or Jesse, he did it right. He gave me his full name and his phone number. And he is from North Carolina. He's the guy who called me. What do you think of that?
That's good.
Got a listener in North Carolina. Thanks, Jesse. Got it. Got your info. 410 WCBM 680. So, okay, Jason.
Yes.
You've been hunting all your life. You wrote an article about the outlaws from Caroline County that taught you a lot about woodsmanship and the outdoors.
Oh, some good life lessons.
Yeah, good life lessons. I'm sure. Deer hunter?
Yeah.
Waterfowl hunter?
Yeah.
Duck, geese? I know you don't get to hunt as often as you like. What's your favorite? What do you like? Do you have a favorite?
Honestly, I like deer hunting.
Deer hunting?
It's just quiet, peaceful.
Yeah, and Robin's daughter Bree is your wife, and she likes to hunt with you too.
Yeah, and text me the whole time.
Oh, she does the texting too.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know,
no.
As long as you're paying attention. You know, when you fall asleep and the deer come by, that's bad. When you're texting and the deer come by, you can usually recover.
Yeah,
unless you're my buddy Dave, who's texting me pictures of the deer walking by his stand. Why aren't you shooting? Dave, it's getting pretty dark.
The whole time to glow the cell phone illuminating your face.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Oh, here are some tips about cell phone in your stand, though, okay? When you go in the morning and you're trying to look at that screen and text somebody, I'm in safe or whatever, okay, that's bad because early in the morning, that glow in your face destroys your night vision, okay? My eye doctor told me, one of them, said if you look at the screen with only one eye, you won't just keep one eye closed and look at the screen with one eye, you won't destroy your night vision.
Yeah.
Didn't know that, but that's a good tip to pass along.
See, same thing with, like pirates, why they always wore an eye patch.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't because they had a missing eye or a bad eye. It was when they went from the deck of the boat down the bottom, if they were fighting, they put the eye patch up so they'd be able to see.
Okay.
That way the light and the darkness, they could kind of...
Really?
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, your eyes are funny things. Fran, I know, is, I think, left-eye dominant right-handed, which makes shooting a challenge. Okay? You got to know what your vision's like. I just went to the eye doctor the other day. My vision in my right eye has changed. Not enough to change my prescription, but to change me from, 2015 to 2020 in the right eye with this prescription. So, but the left eye compensates. Let's talk to Richard in Westminster. Good morning, Richard. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Alan.
What's going on?
I heard you talking about Tennessee.
Yeah.
We actually just bought a place down there.
You did?
Yep.
What part?
We're in Rogersville.
Okay. How far is that from someplace I would know?
Okay, Gatlinburg, Gatlinburg is south and east of Knoxville. We are north and west of Knoxville, so we're probably looking at an hour and a half, 2 hour drive anyway.
Okay. Yeah, Knoxville's like right across the line from where? Virginia, right?
No, that's Bristol.
Where's
Bristol's right.
Oh, that's Bristol. Bristol. Yeah, that's correct.
Knoxville's about 2 hours south of Virginia.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I got it.
Actually, Bristol. 40 miles from the Virginia line.
Okay, I got it. I know where you are.
And we've been looking for about a year and a half, and, looked on the computer. We've been working with a realtor down there, and we've been down there like 3 or 4 times looking at property, and then, finally, when we went down there, was right in that Florence thing was right down there then, and it's like we debated whether to even go down to look at this house because of that, and I'm walking the property as best I can and all that kind of thing, and it's pouring down rain, but I think it's got good potential to have some deer and turkey on it. It's 86 acres.
Oh, that sounds nice. Nice
little house, clean, neat, but so we're going to be probably about a year before we're actually ready to move in.
Right.
But we'll be bouncing back and forth for that year. But I'll still be hunting up here.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
But the same thing happened to me that you described earlier about middle-of-the-day type hunting on opening day especially.
Oh, yeah.
I was in my pop-up, and they're real comfortable, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
And I dozed after about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I dozed off. And about 12:30, I was awoke by the sound of rustling leaves. I looked out, here come the deer.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Middle of the day. It happens.
Yeah. That was awful.
Matter of fact, a 10-point I shot 2 years ago, same thing happened. Everybody was gone. 11:30 in the morning, here came 17 deer. 11:30. It's amazing. So, all right, brother. Thank you for the call.
All right. We'll keep you posted.
All right. See you later.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, Richard. Bye-bye. There he goes. Patrick in Ellicott City. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing just fine. A little excited. We're going to catch a plane to Ireland in a couple hours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful. That's not your home. You're just going on vacation?
Our home's here in Ellicott City. Just going on vacation.
I got it. Well, that sounds great. Have you been there before?
No.
No?
First time.
Well, that sounds like a great getaway. Ireland is beautiful. I've seen, seen the photos and so forth. I've had friends that visit there, and they tell me just a great country. So,
yeah, it ought to be a blast.
That sounds good. I hope to get there.
We haven't really had a big long vacation since we were married 25 and a half years ago.
Wow.
So, that's what I'm most excited part about, spending time with my wife.
Well, that's good. That's good. It is good to get away with your wife and just kind of chill out and forget everything,
You just were away for a while.
Yeah, we were away for about 8 days down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We spent a little time in Natural Bridge, Virginia on the way down and the way back, and that was an interesting time. Walked all the way down to the Natural Bridge and enjoyed that and saw some wildlife and had some good meals, and, it was fun.
Wonder how hunting is in Ireland.
I don't know. Driven grouse, driven pheasants, salmon fishing, red stag, sika deer, red stag in Ireland. I mean, you can check that all out when you go.
Yeah, I plan on it.
Good deal. All right, yeah. Patrick, are you in the muzzleloader contest?
I am now.
All right, well, enjoy yourself.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. And we got John in Queen Anne's County. Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm looking forward to possibly getting out with a smoke stick if I win it, and try harvesting that way this year. That's, I think, a good way around the neighborhood is to step up from archery if the perimeters and spacing and buffers and all allow that. So.
Sure. Well, good luck with that. I mean, I've always enjoyed muzzleloader hunting since I got into it. I mean, I got into it when I was young back in Pennsylvania when we had nothing but flintlocks. And never killed a deer with a flintlock, but I own a couple of them. So.
I haven't either.
No. But I've got a couple. So I don't know if I'll do that this year, but I like the modern muzzleloader as well, too. Very effective. Very effective. You only get one shot, but it's very effective.
Well, that's usually all you get anyways around here.
For the most part, you're absolutely right. Yep. So yeah, can't remember I can't remember a time I had a second shot at a deer.
Yeah. I will be getting in contact with you about some of the handicapped archery organizations and trying to get them on some property close by me.
Wonderful.
There are some excellent or very large deer herds. There are like 30 to 40 head you see routinely just wandering through.
Okay.
And there's a few political issues.
There always is.
The edge of the community that, you know, they actually kind of like them, like to feed them.
Right.
Versus the others that don't want all the mass destruction of that larger herd. It needs to be managed and more effective. And also we're not interested in having large herds which bring Lyme's disease, and that's not a, you know, a potential. When you have people, you go down a neighborhood, and it's, you know, every other house somebody gets Lyme disease.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
And they're all the ones that have the herds coming, strolling through their property.
Yep.
Out on the larger edges, you know, archery would be a wonderful way to harvest.
Okay.
And I think if it was disabled and possibly, you know, other types of hunters of that nature with archery, there may be a little bit less opposition. And, you know, I think that some of the misconceptions about just being aggressive blood hunters out there kind of go away a little bit when you've got a different hunting group there.
Got it. Hey, John, I appreciate that. Stay in touch with me. My email is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'll be glad to share that information with the physically challenged bow hunters of America.
I'll try to coordinate that and let some good harvesting going on.
Beautiful. Thank you, John.
Have a great day.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. There you go. Sharon in Halethorpe and Odell in Baltimore City. I'm sorry, we have to take a break. I've got to tell the folks about Chesapeake Outdoors. They are located on Kent Island. They are the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, and they've got all the muzzle loaders in stock, all the big wall of accessories for your muzzle loader, Thompson Center, and CVA stuff as well. They've got the Raven crossbows, Excalibur 10-point, Carbon Express, Mission Barnett, and Matthew Solo Cam compound bows, as well as a clearance sale on Hoyt bows, banded camouflage clothing for the waterfowlers, scent lock apparel for the deer hunters, Rambo electric bikes to get you back in, Acosta sunglasses for sunny days, Yeti coolers for your catch or your kill, Bubba blade knives for everything, and largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area, decoys, steel shot, gear, camo, ammo, and everything for waterfowl. It's Chesapeake Outdoors, exit 39B Dominion Road on Kent Island. 39B off Route 50 East, right after you cross the Bay Bridge, 410-604-2500. Their friendly and professional staff is waiting to serve you at Chesapeake Outdoors.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Hey, for almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry. Names like the National Wild Turkey Federation and the Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge. You knew I'd bring food up, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. They serve not only a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but they have some of the most delicious fresh baked donuts and pastries and cookies and breads on the Eastern Shore, enough for everyone in camp. Now, when I'm on Route 50, heading to or from the deer stand or the duck blind, my mouth and my belly, can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or a sandwich and a fresh cup of hot coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery and the chocolate donut right there on the highway sign. Even after your morning hunt from 11 till 2, you can stop by and grab a tasty lunch. Dave and Gina Levy are your hosts. They're trained chefs and generally all-around nice folks. They strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think Big Donut. That's your signal. Big Donut. You see Big Donut, you need to slam on your brakes, slide into the parking lot on two wheels, and make sure you get one of those good donuts. Visit their website, like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by, say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Are you waiting for me? Huh? You're waiting for me? Oh, you're waiting for me to say something. Oh. Yeah, I know. Well, at least I said something. Clyde Sports Shop is your full-line Browning dealer. Here's what we've got for shotgun sports, which is popular this time of year now that the rain stopped and it's a little cooler weather out there, you know, sporting clays and skeet and trap. It's the 725 Satori. Do you have a Satori?
Yes.
Do you like it?
Oh, I love it.
There you go. Perfect blend of beauty and performance. 5 Invector DS choke tubes, a ported barrel, triple trigger system, Vector Pro length enforcing cones. Now available in 12 and 20 gauge. And there's a field model available, too, if you like shooting upland birds, you know, or waterfowl with the over and under. That's the 725 Satori. Then there's the BPS pump, 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge models available for those of you who like a pump shotgun. For the deer hunter, there's also a 12 and 20-gauge rifled barrel deer models available. Features bottom ejection, which is nice when you're in the blind. You're not smacking the guy beside you on your right with a spent hot shell. Dura-Touch Armor Coat finish with Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo, 3-injector Invector plus choke tubes come with the shotgun models, not the deer models. And then, of course, there's the A5, the most reliable, fastest shooting, fastest cycling, best balanced and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. 100,000-rounder, 5-year guarantee, Mossy Oak Shadow Shadow Grass Blades, Dura-Touch Camo, fiber optic front sight, humpback receiver, ergonomically balanced, recoil-operated, kinematic drive. It's the A5 from Browning and Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108, Clyde Sports Shop. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, greenest state in the land of the free.
Raised in the woods, so he knew every tree. Killed him a bar when he was only three.
Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier.
Fought single-handed through the Indian War. Till the Creeks was
not
whipped and
correct.
The peace was
no.
in store. While he was handling this risky chore, made himself a legend forevermore.
Davy!
We ate at the Crockett breakfast place down there. Quote, Davy Crockett. The guy's last name wasn't Crockett, but it was something else. But the guy had an interesting story. He was guiding people across the mountains over there, got caught in a snowstorm, got frostbite so bad they had to amputate both his legs. So he made his own prosthetic shoes.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it reduced his height quite a bit, but he was able to walk around. I think they took him off below the knees, but you know, they've got a couple interesting pictures of the guy. So anyway, back to the callers. Odell in Baltimore City, and then Sharon in Hellthorpe. Thanks for waiting, guys. How you doing, Odell?
All right, how you doing?
Good.
I'll tell you a little fishing story. I took my grandson out a week ago Saturday, so I said, well, I got about 2 hours of fish.
Right.
And I got these things, so we threw the casting net out, got some shag, cut it out. He caught two stripers, 122-inch, 119.
Nice.
And he caught seven fish in 2 hours, and I caught two little ones. He got a 10-pound channel cat, 2 6-pounders, and 2 4s. He showed me up, and then he went back bragging to everybody about it.
Well, sure, that's the idea. That's the idea.
Hey, I showed the old man up.
You know, good for him.
A bunch of us older guys, we go out to Southwest Park, and then we sit there, drink coffee, and fish for an hour or two. And he goes to all them guys up, and they say, oh, the grasshopper, I'm showing the teacher today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it, Odell. What's his name?
Danny.
All right. Well, you tell Danny, the guy on the radio said congratulations, and congratulations on out fishing Grandpa, okay?
Yeah, we catch and release them.
That's good. All right, Odell. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Nice talking to you, and enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thanks for holding on so long.
All right. That's all right.
Bye-bye. Sharon, thank you for holding on. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You kind of triggered a memory.
I did.
Kind of a hunting, kind of a shot story. But,
all right.
Because I don't hunt, but my husband and I years ago went to the fireworks in Columbia.
Right.
And, you know, afterward it's dark and we're walking across the parking lot and all of a sudden I heard a big bang and I felt pain in my leg.
Uh-oh.
And somebody had run by and the firecracker went off and went in my leg. So
oh,
I
my.
Got shot.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, we went over and to the ambulance and, you know, they ruined a good pair of pants, ripping it off.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But they used water and, you know, the next day I went to the doctor clinic because, you know, thinking about what might have been in that thing. But I had the cloth was burned and the leg was burned.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and it was a firecracker, huh? Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it happens so fast.
Sure, sure, sure.
I'm not going to identify anybody, but,
yep.
but. Yeah, so you triggered a memory.
Well, wasn't a very pleasant one, so but I'm glad you made it. So thank you very much.
The hunting was for them, I guess. The police, you know, because I made a report, so they did the hunting.
The police did the hunting. Beautiful. All right, dear. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, take care now.
Have a great weekend. Bye bye.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye bye. Dave in Arizona. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good, Alan. How are you?
I'm well. Are you actually in Arizona at the moment?
Yeah, we're visiting some friends, family out here. And
I see.
Some Grand Canyon hiking.
Oh, wonderful. How's the Grand Canyon this time of year?
Well, pleasant temperatures in the low 50s,
nice.
High 40s.
Nice.
The peaks have some snow on them, but
yep.
the wildlife out here is something else.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I love it out west. No question about it. Rob and I want to take a trip out there to probably Wyoming to see what's going on in Jackson Hole and some of those places out there. Check out the antelope, and so we'll get to do that here shortly. So, but I'm glad to hear you're enjoying the Grand Canyon. So.
I've never seen an elk up live and personal. Like we came upon a female grazing up on the top of the hill, and they are so huge. It's unbelievable.
Pretty impressive, aren't they?
Yep. Yeah. And then we saw a herd of antelope and. tarantulas are walking around this time of year.
Oh, no thanks. I guess we won't be coming to Arizona. Robin, sorry, babe. They got tarantulas.
So, yeah, well, my body clock is still on time back in Pasadena.
I got it.
I was listening on my internet, and yep. I just had to call in and get in the contest.
Well, you're in it, brother. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Dave, thanks for calling from Arizona. Take care. Bye-bye. And we truly do have almost an international audience. We had a caller from North Carolina called me on my cell phone, and then he called, or then he sent an email and got into muzzleloader contest. There's Dave in Arizona, and here is Tony in Lincoln, Delaware. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Doing well. How's everything?
Quick question. I remember you talking a while back about you like the light field slugs for deer.
I love them. Yes, sir.
Well, what's the difference, buddy, between the hybrid and the regular slug?
The hybrid is the regular slug, I believe. The that's the one I've always used is the hybrid. That's the first one that came out, and I don't know what you mean by regular. You mean a different brand of slug?
Light field also, but it's not the hybrid. It's just in a blue, plain blue box.
I don't know if that's the low velocity or the
that might be what it is.
You know, but I use them in the 20 and in the 12 gauge. I actually was part of the field test team for the 3-inch when they came out with the 20 gauge 3-inch years ago, and they were devastating. I took a couple deer with that just to see.
I'm glad you brought that up. What do you suggest, a 2 3/4 or 3-inch in the 12 gauge?
2 3/4. That's all you need. That's all you need. I've taken probably 50 deer with that light field slug.
That's all I ever shoot with 12 gauge, 2 3/4.
That's all you ever shoot is a 2 3/4 12 gauge? Do you use a light field too?
I used to. I've switched up just to be different.
Well, that's all right. You know, they've always performed well for me. They're very accurate. I did take a deer with a 20 gauge at about 160, 170 yards one time. The deer had been injured and came out in the field, limped out in the field, and I took it with the 20 gauge at about 160 yards with the 20 gauge. So, you know, it wasn't a perfect shot, but you know what? It took the deer down and it took care of it, but, I was.
As long as you got it.
Yeah, exactly. So it was all good.
All right, buddy, put me in the muzzleloader contest.
Dude. You're in, Tony. Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
You got it. Bye-bye. Here goes, Tony. I think I know Tony. Yes, sir. What do you have in mind?
No, I just found talking about the light field slugs.
Yeah,
they have the hybrid and they had the hybrid light.
Ah, the light.
The hybrid lighter, lower recoil.
Yep, lower recoil and probably lower sound. I think maybe more of a suburban type of round.
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. So, hey, you got a rod and reel. At Clyde's, a lightweight ugly stick with a Shakespeare reel on it.
Yes.
And you sent me a picture the other day. Tell me that story.
My nephew, who is 7, had never been fishing.
Okay.
So I took him fishing for the first time. And after losing about $30 in lures, 4 bottom rigs, 4 one-ounce weights, 8 hooks, a few worms. He caught his first fish, which is about a 8-inch white perch.
Nice. So we need to print that picture out and get that to Clyde's and let him know that it was on their rod and reel that happened. Yeah, that was, and I guess he liked the ugly stick, but he probably was whaling that thing wherever it would go. Right?
He hooked me.
He hooked you?
Yes, twice.
Did he reel you in?
I wouldn't let him.
That's a good. He didn't set the hook, did he?
I don't think I got I'm sorry out of him either.
No?
Yeah, he wanted his hook back.
I wanted.
Yeah.
He didn't laugh, did he?
No, not him.
No. No. He'd never do that. No. He probably thought that was pretty dang funny. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had laughs.
So. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, it's always fun when you actually catch something rather than a stick or a tree or, you know.
He caught a few of those.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And he got experience his line breaking for the first time.
Oh, really?
He hooked something of decent size. I'm guessing a big catfish. We were in a creek. And he was fumbling with a rod and just didn't land it right.
Yeah, that happens. But the big one got away. That'll keep him going back, you know. That's one thing that keeps you going back.
Plus, it's a good learning experience, learning lesson.
Yep.
What not to do.
Exactly. I was when I was a kid, I was surf fishing off of one of the beaches in New Jersey. and I don't can't even remember what we were using, squid probably. Throw that thing out there, line would start screaming, couldn't stop the fish. I don't know if it was a big ray. I don't know if it was a striped bass. I have no idea what it was. Could have been a shark picked it up. But I'll tell you what, when that rod bent over and there was just no stop. It spooled me. After the second time, I was done. No fishing line, gone. I don't know what it was, but, you know, I always remember that. So, anyway. So, hey, we had a good time. I had a good time talking to you this morning. I'm glad you're here. Well, maybe do this again. It's fun.
Oh, yeah, I've had fun.
Yes, indeed. For almost 10 years, you know, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Well, a true taste of fall has arrived here to Baltimore, and not just here, but all the way down to our friends in North Florida, Panama City, Tallahassee, enjoying some 50s for our Saturday forecast. Near 60 for the afternoon high today. Could see a couple of sprinkles first half of the day, then some clouds tonight. Low 40s, upper 30s, and then Sunday, sunshine with high temps in the low 60s. Monday, rain showers in low 70s. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors, located just off Route 50 East, exit 39B Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island. They've got everything you need. They've got camo, they've got ammo, they've got guns, they've got crossbows, they've got compound bows, they've got Yeti, Costa, Remington, Thompson Center, CVA muzzleloaders, Rambo electric bikes, and everything as far as accessories is concerned for hunting, even for fishing too. It's Chesapeake Outdoors. Phone number 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, let's not forget about Clyde Sports Shop. They are your Browning hunting headquarters with everything that Browning makes, from handguns for personal and home protection to shotguns for deer and waterfowl to bolt-action rifles like the X-Bolt. Extremely accurate bolt-action big game hunting perfection, all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. It's perfect for deer hunting. And don't forget about the AB3. That's a AB3 Hunter. It's a package gun, comes with a Nikon Buckmaster 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope already installed from the factory. It's a reasonably priced package for the big game hunter. Comes in the most popular calibers, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. And they do gunsmithing, too.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked this plan, but it came undone when it got around to goddamn guns. Well, I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on.
God and guns there, Jason. Can't go wrong.
No, you can't.
God, guns, and guts. That's what it's all about. Folks, we have come to the end, nearly, of another show. And I want to thank my son-in-law, Jason Willie, for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Good time, good conversation. Come back again, because you've got some interesting outlooks on life and the hunting tradition and so forth, you know, the hunting heritage and all that. I mean, it's been handed down throughout your family. You know, my dad wasn't much of a hunter, but he facilitated me. He went with me as often as he could. And, you know, my grandfather on my mother's side was a hunter. The fellow that had the deer jump over him.
Yeah.
My grandfather wasn't much of a rabbit hunter. He was a squirrel hunter more than anything, but he'd always go to deer camp. He was rabbit hunting. And he stepped over a white-tailed doe. What a surprise.
For him and the doe, I'm sure.
Yes. Probably back in the 50s, I would imagine, you know. So it was quite a sight to even see a deer, let alone step over one. But as my grandfather always said, thinking about the rain, the thunder roared, the lightning crashed, and struck a pig right in the neck. One of his...